always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes it leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen.
Let's remain standing for prayer. Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, as we pray? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And who's got our scripture reading this morning? Brother Sam. All right.
She said, don't preach, just read.
Oh, no. I thought I was up here to preach. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Okay, if you want to follow along here, we're going to read some verses here. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he appointed, verse 4, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 7. Then on that day David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Verse 23, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Isn't that great? Okay, down here, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Boy, you can stop and preach on that passage,
couldn't you? Amen. Let's turn over to 635. I'll try to turn to the right page this time. Last week I didn't do that. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go, no other one. He's my friend. Blessings and sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. With such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. Praise God. Amen. Would you all rise and we'll sing number 521.
Got to trust him. Amen. Great song.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen.
We have a couple ushers come forward, please. Amen.
Brother Gene, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we bring you to the Father this morning and ask you, Lord, to heal our sick. Be it from the sensitive, Lord, with cancer, be it from the broken miles, healing, making whatever. Be it from the limbs, too, Lord. I pray that you put your special blessing on us. You know who we are. You know where we are. Yes. And you can perform a miracle. I pray, Lord, that I pray for this prayer just this time, Lord. Give me strength and encourage the families. Yes, and give them the memory of this church and strengthen them and guide them and direct them. And bless our pastor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning, please, sir? While he's coming up here, I'll remind all of you of our services tonight at 6 o'clock. If you look in there, you'll see that we're going to be speaking from Revelation chapter 16. And the message is going to be about the seven vials of God's wrath. I think God is conditioning the people of the world today for that which is to come.
Amen.
Things are getting pretty bad all over the world. Sin is breaking out in places where people never thought they'd find it. But it's there, it's coming, and the world had better get used to it, because there's a lot more coming than has been before. But there's light at the end of the tunnel for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be here. The rapture is going to take place. We are listening for the trumpet.
Amen.
Brother Johnny, come sing for us.
Good morning, everyone. You know our Lord Jesus, the Bible calls him the Rose of Sharon. You know, and rightfully so. You know, but he's special. He's a special flower, spiritual, loving flower. And you know what? He is still blooming faithfully. Please. Climbing up the mountain, it was so steep and high, where the land was a barren. Hey, something caught my eye. A little flower all alone held this petals tall, as if to say, but just for you I'll give my all in all. Listen. A special flower, oh, for a special place, with a special glory and a special grace, with a special beauty for a special someone to see. A special little flower blooming faithfully. Listen, my friend. Now you may feel that you're out of place, different from the rest. Remember, God has placed you there, so try to do your best. For those who faithfully will bloom as we run this race, each special flower will be a part of God. Oh, bouquet of grace. Now, a special flower, for a special place, with a special glory, for
a special place with a special beauty for a special someone to see. A special little flower blooming faithfully. Listen. Oh, a special flower. This one, a special place with special glory and a special grace with special beauty for a special someone to see. A special little flower blooming faithfully, faithfully. Praise God, he's still blooming today. My Lord is still blooming. Praise, he's a beautiful flower, Pastor. Watch and see what I see him in all his glory. Beauty, my Lord, my Savior, my friend. Glory, hallelujah.
All right. Brother David, did you want to make an announcement?
Sure. I know that you guys probably saw me get pretty emotional, but, you know, my wife has been diagnosed with uterine cancer. And we see the doctor this Wednesday. But, you know, just we have hope. We hope in the Lord. The doctor said to her
amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 this morning, if you will. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 19. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just before he left the earth to go back to heaven to begin his ministry in the temple of God that is in heaven as our faithful high priest. Aren't you glad that we have a high priest of God? Oh, he comes in handy. Here's what he says. Well, let's begin in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Passover, 29 AD. That was when Jesus met with his 12 disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem. And they observed the Passover together. Remember, Judas left a little early to go get his pay for betraying Christ. And then Jesus and the 11 sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives, where in the Garden of Gethsemane, they divided up into three groups and had a prayer meeting. The prayer meeting lasted for 3 hours. This was in the very heart of that night. And it was there in the Garden of Gethsemane as they were praying that Judas came with a band of men and for 30 pieces of silver he betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of his enemies. They took Jesus first to the house of Annas. Annas was the current high priest. Pardon me. He was the father-in-law of the current high priest. He was a has-been, but they still respected his authority. So they took him to Annas, and he was tried before Annas. Annas found him guilty, had him bound, tying Jesus' hands, and they led him bound to the house of Caiaphas, who was the current high priest. And he was the son-in-law of Annas. And Jesus was tried there and found guilty. And Caiaphas left him bound, and they took him over to the house where Governor Pontius Pilate lived. Pilate was the boss of Judea at that time, and they had yet a third trial for Jesus there. By the way, he was not, I repeat, not found guilty, but he was delivered up to be crucified anyway, sentenced to death. So he was crucified. He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They prepared his body for burial, wrapped it in the burial clothes with the spices, and they laid his dead body in the tomb of Joseph, which was new, in the garden nearby, had never been used before. He rose from the dead. The morning of the third day, when the women came to the tomb, his body was already out of the tomb. The stone had been rolled away, And the angel told them, he's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come. They were invited. See the place where the Lord lay. Well, Jesus showed himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs. And finally, 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost, still 29 AD, he ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet, on the east of Jerusalem. Now, he had advised his apostles to remain in Jerusalem until Pentecost, which they did. They were staying in and meeting in an upper room in Jerusalem. There were about 120 of them that were meeting there. And we find that in Acts 1:15. They were having church. Brother Gene was telling me about the Bible Believers group over in Imperial Beach, to show you how things do not change. You've got a bunch of people over there that love the Lord, wanted to meet together for Bible study and preaching. So this one guy says, I'll loan you my garage. And they made room in the garage. They found some pews and put the pews inside the garage and had a pulpit stand similar to this that they put up front for the preacher to stand behind, and the people were sitting in the garage in the church pews. Here drives up the carload of very dignified, important city officials. They get out of the car, they come over there, and they're just like the people in the Bible. They say, you can't hold church here in this garage. This garage is built for cars. They say, well, we're not a church, we're just having a Bible lesson. You are having a church too, because a church has pews and you have pews in here. A church has a pulpit stand and you have a pulpit stand in here. Well, they say, if we take the pews out and put folding chairs out here for the people to sit in, will that be all right? Yes, that'll be all right. But you can't have pews there, because pews make it a church. But you got to get rid of that pulpit stand, because churches have pulpits. Well, what can we use? We'll get you a little stand like this. Put your Bible on it. And that won't be a church. They didn't say anything about the Bible. I'm surprised that they didn't say, now you can't bring a Bible in here or that'll make it a church. You can't preach. You've got to teach. That's today, 2015. Here in Jerusalem, we've got 120 that are meeting. The authorities don't like it, but they really didn't do anything about it. But what were they doing? What constitutes a church? What is a church supposed to do? The Bible says they continued. That means that they were there Sunday morning. Continue. They were there Sunday night. Continue. They were there Wednesday night. In fact, they were there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. They continued with one accord. One accord, that means that they were in agreement. They were not there to argue, to fight, or to dispute. They were there to read the Word of God and agree with one another about certain doctrines. Continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They had prayer meetings. They prayed. The women prayed. The boys and girls prayed. The men prayed. They had prayer and supplication. Mary was there. We don't know where Joseph was. Joseph may have died. We're not told. We don't know. But she was there. And she had her four boys with her, Jesus' brothers, you know, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And his sisters were there too. They filled up a whole pew. Just Jesus' immediate family there. His mother, his four brothers, and his sisters. And here's something else they did. They had a business meeting. And at that business meeting, they elected one of the fellows who was there. His name was Matthias. And they said, we're going to vote here. We've got to replace old Judas. He's dead now. He's already gone out and committed suicide. And we need another one to keep 12 apostles together. We want somebody that's been baptized by John the Baptist. We want somebody that's been a disciple of Jesus during his earthly ministry. And so Matthias qualified along with another fellow, and they voted between the two, and Matthias got the most votes, and so he was numbered as the 12th apostle. All right. All this is going on in those 10 days. Then, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, still 29 AD. They were all with one accord in one place in this upper room. And guess what? The Holy Spirit of God came. Jesus had promised them. He said, if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, cannot come. But if I go away, he said, I will send him unto you. And so Jesus saw them all gathered together here. And he says to the Holy Spirit, okay, it's your turn. Go get them. And he came down, and all you have to do is read that second chapter of Acts, and you'll find out the things that happened as they began to speak with other tongues about the wonderful works of God. Then old Simon Peter couldn't stand it anymore. He got up and preached. And after he got through, somebody says, what shall we do? They want to do something. Something needs to be done. So Peter answered. He says, repent and be baptized. Two things. Repentance first, then baptized. And guess what? We've got 120 already here, but there's 3,000 souls who gladly received the word and were baptized and added to the 120. So we've got 3,120 members now of our church. When we came to church this morning, we only had 120. But there's 3,120 leaves that place. And they're all saved, born again. What did they do? They're saved now. I'm a member of the church, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. What do I do? They continued to witness throughout Jerusalem. And what happened whenever they witnessed to people? You've got 3,120 witnesses out here. Boy, they can cover a lot of territory. But what happened? The Lord added to the church daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the way through the week, the Lord added to the church. Who did he add? He's got a lot of scribes and Pharisees and publicans and sinners. Who's he adding to this church? Such as should be saved. They didn't add anybody to that church that wasn't saved. Somebody would come and say, I want to join the church. Are you saved? No, I'm not saved. But I thought if I came and joined the church, I could get saved. Well, you're getting the cart before the horse. You get saved first, and then you come and join the church. Now, even the apostles got into the act. The apostles witnessed of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with great power and great grace, the undeserved unmerited favor of God. Great grace was upon them all. And many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Oh, it's growing fast, isn't it? Where are we going to put them all? We don't have the 120 to start with, but if we multiplied like they did, man, lives, we'd have to have a building that'd fill this whole thing, parking lot and all, wouldn't it? Wow. Somebody'd be sitting out in the rain or sunshine. Now, we've got how many? 8,120. In this one church in Jerusalem. And this is the only church in the world at that time. There wasn't one in Rome, not one in London, not one in Alexandria, Egypt, not one anywhere else. Only in Jerusalem. And the Lord kept on adding people to it by the thousands, and it kept growing. But you know those scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, they didn't like it. They didn't like that at all. You'd think with a revival going on like that in town that everybody would be religious, but they weren't. They said, we gotta pour some water on this fire. So they took those apostles into custody. You're under arrest. They beat them. I saw a picture the other day. Came out of China. It was a picture of a believer's back. His naked back. He too had been beaten for the cause of Christ. I've never seen such a mass. It was scarred over, but it looked like hamburger. Ground up hamburger, his back. They beat them. They threatened them. Don't preach anymore in this name. Don't speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. They were commanded not to do that. They kept on having their prayer meetings. The tone of their prayers changed a little bit. The Bible says that they, when they had a prayer meeting, they prayed for boldness to speak God's word. They found themselves lacking in the boldness department. I'd like to witness to this guy over here, but I'm afraid that if I say anything to him about Jesus, that somebody else will hear and they'll call the cops and throw me in jail and beat me and maybe kill me. So I'm going to zip it up. I'm not going to tell him that Jesus died for his sins and that Jesus loves him and wants him to be saved. Lord, give us boldness. God heard and answered their prayer. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Can you imagine that? They hit them and they feel the pain, but they say, thank you, Lord. Praise your name that I am worthy to suffer for you. See, changed their attitude toward it. No longer were they afraid, they were bold. Now, the number of disciples was multiplied. What did they do? They are the church. What did they do? What is the church supposed to do? We are a group of people who have made a public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. He is our personal Savior. He has saved us from our sins. We are children of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of power. But what are we supposed to do? What did they do? Let's follow their example. They gave themselves continually, here's that word continually again, to prayer, and they did a lot of praying, didn't they? To prayer and the ministry of the word. They knew that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed. So they preached and ministered the word of God. What happened? As a result, they multiplied greatly. The church at Jerusalem is still growing. Prayer and ministry. But remember our text. When Jesus gave that commission, he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, beginning at Jerusalem. Then you go into Samaria, Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. But we've got these thousands of believers in the city of Jerusalem. And by this time, surely everybody in town has been approached and given an opportunity to be saved. That city had been evangelized. Man, it's like Billy Graham coming to town. So, the devil didn't like it. So the persecution increased. What happened to Stephen? He preached. He got stoned to death. What happened to James, the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee? They cut his head off. He was beheaded. Herod Antipas did that to him. Many of the believers, including the 12 apostles, were all imprisoned. And then you read, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Great persecution against the church. What happened as a result of that? They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. That's where God had told them to go. They hadn't gone. What did it take to get them out of town, out of Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria? It took great persecution. But as they went, they didn't leave their religion in the church. They took it with them wherever they went, and they preached Christ and Him crucified. They were all scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere. That's into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. It says preaching the word, preaching Christ unto them. And as a result, they believed and were baptized, both men and women. Now I'm giving you this so that you can see the activity of the church. Throughout the book of Acts, they started churches in all the cities. Usually just one church in each city. If they had started here in Chula Vista, they would go to San Diego. They would go to La Mesa. They would go to Lemon Grove. They would go to San Ysidro. They would go to El Cajon. They would go to Spring Valley. And churches would spring up wherever they went. Now, these poor people were like Brother Lancaster this morning. I'm going to tell off on him. Because when he came to church this morning, guess what he forgot? He forgot his Bible. Oh, he's got one now. I loaned him one. Make sure he had it. But he forgot his Bible. When these people went to church, they didn't take their Bibles with them. Why? Because they didn't have a Bible, that's why. And when you've got a congregation of 8,000 or 10,000 people out here that you're preaching to, you've got to have some authority. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Now, if you don't have a Bible and you've got that many people and you've got churches everywhere now that are springing up, but they don't have the Word of God to guide them, they don't have the Word to teach, heresy comes in. People start bringing in false doctrines. And it gets people all confused and messed up because they have no guide. They have no authority. No word of God to follow. You'll remember back in AD 95 when old John was exiled by Domitian to the Isle of Patmos over there. On Sunday morning, Jesus appeared to him and said, John, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to write some letters for me. I want you to address them to 7 churches in Asia. I want you to write a letter to the church at Ephesus and another one to the church at Smyrna, then Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Because, John, each one of these churches, not having a New Testament to guide them in their worship, they're going out every which way. They're believing everything that comes along. So we've got to straighten them out, and give them a guide. So you write these letters for me. And he did. And you know something? You read about the others. The church at Corinth, they had their problems. The church at Philippi had its problems. Paul wrote to these. The church at Colossae, the church at Galatia, the church at Antioch. All of these individual churches had their own particular problems. By the end of that first century, the Bible had been completely written. All the New Testament had been compiled into one volume and canonized actually 200 or 300 years later, 397, before they ever had a New Testament in their Bible like you and I have today. Constantine, Emperor of the Roman Empire, had made Christianity the state religion back in 313 BC and when he issued the Edict of Milan. But those people back then, one of the biggest problems they had was baptismal regeneration. They were so Baptist that they believed baptism saved you. Boy, you can't get more Baptist than that, can you? They believed, and a lot of people today still believe it. Baptismal regeneration. So churches, the individual churches were divided doctrinally. Oh, we could go on and talk about the Anabaptist Church. We could talk about the Reformation Church. Other groups that got their names from some of the leaders. A fellow by the name of Martin Luther. I think there's some people around here still that are called Lutherans. A lot of my family, I've done some family tree digging and I found an awful lot of Lutherans from the Wetzels that were over in that area today known as Germany. because that's where old Martin started out. And then, of course, Peter Waldo and the Waldensians, Menno Simons and the Mennonites, you've heard of them. John the Baptist and the Baptist, I suppose, come in there. Churches change, but the Word of God does not change. Now, there are certain characteristics of a church that make it a true church. But I've already overrun my time, and I'm going to have to finish. This will be called the unfinished sermon, because I want to talk to you about what constitutes a true church. And it's going to take some time to do it. We'll talk about the right salvation and the right Jesus and the right way to heaven and the right Bible and the right preaching and the right stress. But the fact remains that the Church of Jesus Christ has a divine commission from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our job. Not to set aside one day of the week, Sunday, and come to Sunday school, bring our Bibles, don't forget that. And stay for preaching, come back Sunday night, come back Wednesday night. We've done our duty, Lord. God says, that's what you think. He says, what do you think a church is? Church is a body of baptized believers who are under a divine commission from God Almighty Himself to go into all the world and preach. We support 40 mission families. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. What's that got to do with the commission to you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Remember, after death, the judgment. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Father, for our church. And we thank you that through the Holy Spirit, we who are here today are one body in Christ. Heavenly Father, help us to do what we ought to do. Help us to be your witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Go and preach. Go and teach. What are we doing? What are we doing? Lord, set us on the right path. Give us that power of the Holy Spirit. Jumpstart our souls that we might be active in your service, doing what we're supposed to do. If there's one here today whose heart has been touched at the preaching of this message, and they want to come and dedicate themselves to you, say, Lord, here am I. I want to do what you want me to do. Then, Father, move upon their hearts to come during our invitation. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
404.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Will you come today? will you come? I surrender all. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for listening. We'll be in Revelation 16 tonight, 6 o'clock. While our heads are bowed, as we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Sam, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?